o'clock.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
And a very good evening. Welcome to the Rush Hour across the Triple M network. No MG tonight. He's away. He's having some time off. So is Liam. So Maroon's in the chair with former NRL coach. No doubt he will be again. He's a good mate of mine, Nathan Brown. Brownie, thanks for coming down from beautiful Newey.
Not a problem, Maroon. How you going, mate?
Fantastic, mate. Enjoying your time off?
Yeah, it's been good. I've got a little bit bored at times, but the kids being on holidays is keeping everybody busy, and I'm probably driving the miss a little bit mad.
Yeah, okay. Well, mate, hopefully you don't get too used to it. We'll get you. If you can't get a coaching gig, we'll give you a gig here. How about that?
That sounds terrific.
All right, mate. I'm acting as your agent for this one. Plenty of things happening in rugby league. Sam Burgess could be forced to retire. I'm going to play you some audio from Spud Carroll shortly, Brownie, and get your thoughts on it. We'll go live to Fiji and speak to a member of the Prime Minister's 13 team in Jake Trbojevic. Might even have some Nines tickets to give away tonight here on the Rush Hour at Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M. Nathan Brown and Maroon in the chair tonight. It's time for this.
Trending now.
Yeah, Rabbitohs fans, Brownie, very concerned about this. Michael Carayannis writes in the telly today, South Sydney star Sam Burgess will have to consider premature retirement because of a debilitating shoulder injury that, of course, ruled him out of the Great Britain tour. Suggestions that the arthritic shoulder has deteriorated so badly he won't be able to see out his four-year deal, Nathan Brown.
Look, I'm not aware of how bad Sam's shoulder is, but obviously it was an issue this year and he missed a bit of footy and probably hindered him a little bit at the back part of the year. But Sam Burgess is, you know, at his best, is one of the most influential forwards in the game, in the world. He's one of the world's best forwards. And it would be not only sad for rugby league, but if South Sydney were to lose him, say, at some stage next year, it would have a huge impact on him. You know, he's roughly $1 million player, and rightly so. And the ones that are that good that get paid that well, if they depart any team, it has some sort of impact. And, you know, Sam's obviously their forward leader as well, and Johnny Sutton's just retired. His brother's gone to England, one of his brothers. So, you know, there certainly is a little bit of void there. So hopefully for South Sydney and the fans and rugby league in general, Sam's shoulders are not as bad as what we're being told.
All right, one thing we do know about Mark Spud Carroll, he's a straight shooter and he's mates with Sam Burgess. So Spud Carroll had this to say.
His shoulder is a mess. He can only raise probably to 45-degree angle. Like, he can't go 90. He's got arthritis in that shoulder. Seriously, his movement is horrible, mate. I can't believe how much movement he had. He really has to jump on this, mate, and it's all because of what happened in the botched operation.
It's all because of what happened, Brownie, he says, in the botched operation.
Yeah, well, someone of Sam's calibre, and if the operation in Yale's, well, I'm sure, you know, Sam couldn't play footy. I'm sure there's numbers of things you can look at when players have these career-ending injuries. One is they can be medically retired, whereas they're deemed unfit to play, but the club still has to foot the bill for his however long he's on contract. So I believe Sam's on 3 years contract. So if he was deemed unfit to play, South Sydney may have to foot his wages for 3 years, but it'd be off the salary cap. Or if it's an acute injury that's happened, not so much down to wear and tear, you can get medically retired and insurance covers the length of the contract as well. So there's numbers of things that can happen there. But if Sam Burgess was deemed unfit to play the game because of his shoulder and the surgery played a part in it, one bit of pleasing news for the South Sydney fans would be I'd be pretty confident it would be off their cap.
Yeah, okay. They just have to foot the bill, but
they may
be.
Have to. They may have to foot the bill, yeah.
Okay, so you've talked about the influence he has and the importance he is to the Rabbitohs. But Brownie, as a bloke who's coached players of this calibre, talk us through how it must sit with them mentally if they are retired because of a chronic injury.
The player or the club?
The player.
Oh, yeah, well, it probably depends. And, you know, Sam's achieved, obviously, a lot in the game. You know, is Sam Burgess satisfied with his career? Is he happy with where it's at? Is he happy to retire? He's married. He's got a couple of little children. He's earned bucket loads of money. I'm sure he's done well with it. Or does he still have a real desire to keep playing and keep achieving? Now, if he's got a desire to keep playing and achieving, his headspace, I'd imagine, would not be great. But sometimes players get to the stage of their career where the body is starting to give out of them and they're satisfied with what they're achieved and they get on with life, you know, quite well. But all different circumstances, different horses, different courses, you know. So it's probably, that'll probably be, all come down to, does Sam Burgess really have a desire to still prove himself and, you know, win another grand final or win with England or whatever it may be. What does he want to still achieve? And, you know, I'm sure that if that's what he wants to do, I'm sure he'll try and get on the field anyway, that's for sure.
Okay, well, he's about to turn 31. I can hardly imagine that he would be happy to just walk away. But anyway, we'll keep an eye on Sam and Rabbitoh supporters. Obviously, we wish him all the best. We've got more rugby league to talk about. In Fiji is where you'll find the Prime Minister's 13. Jake Trbojevic joins us next on The Rush Hour. Nathan Brown and Maroon, stay right there.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M. MG having a well-earned break, and so it's Maroon in the chair with Nathan Brown, and joining us on the line live from Fiji, where the Prime Minister's 13 will tomorrow take on Fiji at ANZ National Stadium in Suva. We've got Jake Trbojevic on the line. Hello, Jake.
How you going, guys?
Well, I tell you what, mate, I know over in Fiji just from visiting how much they love their rugby league.
Oh, yeah, no, they do. They do. It's obviously been awesome coming over here. You know, we used to go over to Papua New Guinea where, you know, they really love their footy, but coming over here has been awesome. They're all really excited. All the locals are buying into the game, and it's going to be a really good night tomorrow night. It'll be a really, really good crowd, and everyone's excited to have us in town.
How do you find it, Jake, with obviously being a Prime Minister's 13, and you have players of your level of talent who's just won an origin or won the last two Origin series and obviously achieved so much at this level, then you have the younger ones coming through. Is that a different sort of experience for you at rep level?
Oh, I reckon it's really good. You know, it's exciting to play along some of the games, you know, best young players, and, you know, it's a different look. And I think Mal makes it great. He puts a lot of meaning in the jersey, and everyone's really excited to be here, and everyone, you know, been working really hard to put their best foot forward. So I've been really enjoying the week. You know, get to know these young guys. You know, guys like, you know, David Fafita and, you know, big Payne Haas. They've just got massive futures. So playing alongside these sort of players is going to be awesome. And it's going to be a really good night. You know, we've got some great players there. I'm just excited to see how they go.
Has Desi got you trying to recruit any of those blokes? Hey, that's the old trick. You know that one, Jake. The rep players do all the recruiting for all the coaches.
Desi doesn't let anyone do anything. Desi.
Hey, Jake, what about you, mate? I mean, Manly had such a wonderful year. Maybe you don't, you know, you look back on that and you probably think, well, you bowed out a week or two too early. But when you look back on that game when you were binned in the Rabbitohs, and be fair, I mean, you'd still be pretty bitter.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was very, you know, hard to take that loss. Obviously, I got Tim in at a crucial time, and I think it cost us the game. You know, I thought we were in control of the game at that point. And when I got Tim in, you know, we let in two tries on the back of having one less player on the field, so it probably cost us the game. So we would have been, you know, close to being one game off a grand final, which would have been awesome. But, you know, it was really tough to take that night. But looking back on the season, we had, you know, massive improvement. You know, coming off the year before where we struggled a lot, we come second last to, you know, do what we did was really awesome. It gives us a lot of confidence moving forward. And a lot of young guys played some really good footy. So hopefully, you know, they get a lot more confidence, and hopefully next year we come back bigger and better.
Hey, Jake, good pre-season. You blokes would feel confident next year you can improve on this year, wouldn't you? Like, Desi's been back now of his second year with you, and a lot of those blokes that, obviously, those blokes who were considered fringe players that come in and perform say, well, you'd be hopeful they'll improve. I've actually tipped you to be the top four next year. So what's your thoughts there, mate?
Oh, yeah, we'd definitely be looking to improve, you know. Obviously, on the back of one pre-season under Desi, I thought, you know, as a squad, we improved a lot. So we're obviously hoping to do that again. And as you said, we had a lot of young guys who come in. It was, you know, the first or second year of first grade, so only natural that hopefully they get better, and, you know, as they get more experience, it'll only help our squad. And, you know, when you play finals footy like we did this year, it only gives you, you know, a lot more hunger to go better. So hopefully, as a team, we can just keep working hard and just put ourselves in, you know, the best position to compete each week, and hopefully we're there at the back end again. Yeah, that'd be really good.
Jake, I know you've been overseas, mate. I don't know how much you know about this injury to one of your teammates, Joel Thompson, who's had a horrific head injury. Can you add any light to that?
No, I haven't heard too much. I think, except, you know, what's been said, he wrote to all the boys that he's all right, but obviously it's not good what happened. And he said, you know, he'll learn a lesson from it. And well, I'm just hoping that he's right for, you know, him and his family are all good. Because he's a great man, Joel. He's been really good for our club the last couple of years, and not good seeing him like that. But just, yeah, I just hope him and his family are all good.
Okay, mate, we'll let you go, Jake. All the best for the Prime Minister's 13 tomorrow in Suva. Oh. And good luck to the Fijian side as well. Thanks, mate.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Cheers. There he is, Jake Probojevic, joining us on the Rush Hour. Yeah, and if you don't know that news, Joel Thompson, a head injury while partying over the weekend. But apparently he's okay. And that's the main thing. Got a bit of a giveaway here, Brownie. Ego Plus Power Tools. Think outside the battery powered Ego Power Plus outdoor power equipment. This is the grouse. This is the good stuff. One Ego Power Plus 38 centimeter line tripper kit with power load technology. I'm going to get one of these for you too, Brownie.
Thank you, Maroon. That sounds terrific.
Yeah, mate. It's right up your alley. If you want one, get on the phone now. 133353. It's the Rush Hour at Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M. MG and Liam, both those guys will be back on deck on Monday morning. Right now it's Maroon and me old mate Nathan Brown, who we're just discussing, Brownie, where we first met. I think it was when I was working at Wynn and the Steelers merged with the Dragons.
I didn't know if it was that or Jimmy the Greek, Jimmy Bieri's.
The old Innovative Fitness Innovative gym in Fitness. Ramsgate, Jimmy Bieri.
Across the road from the pub that used to have the bouncing dance floor.
The Intersection.
The Intersection.
It could have been there too, but all I do know is you had a lot more hair then, Brownie.
That is correct, and yours wasn't as grey, Marie.
Ah, that's very good. That's very good. But it was still in place though, Brownie. That's the only thing. Mate, what about, I have to ask you because people are going to say, why didn't you ask him? Any nibbles for any coaching roles around the place?
No, not much at the moment, Maroon. I've spent me little bit of work time, obviously, with you blokes and a bit of stuff with Fox. And other than that, it's been plenty of training with a group called the Wolfpack. That's Mark Hughes and Denny Badiris, Jared O'Doherty, Paul Aragon. There's plenty of them. Steve Crow, the Gidley boys when they're about two. So it's a heap of Knights boys that get together and train, and they're preparing for Kilimanjaro at the moment, where they'll set off there next week. So that's been good fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. You've got a bit of time off and you're enjoying it. It is time now, though, Brownie, for this. Yeah, this is the power rankings. And what I want you to do here, Brownie, is rate the five best footballers you've ever coached from 5 to 1, starting with...
5.
I probably can't put them in really any order because I've had a lot of time in England and some time in Australia. So probably my two favourite English players, I'd say, were James Robey, a hooker for St Helens, and Paul Wellens, who was probably past his better days when I coached him, but an outstanding leader. So they were probably my two favourite English players.
I've heard you rap Paul Wellens before, so elaborate a bit if you could, Brownie.
His leadership qualities are great. When I went to St Helens, I had to obviously move a lot of older players who were past their best out of the club, and a lot of those blokes had achieved quite a bit at the club, so those tasks can be a little bit difficult if your captain doesn't support, you know. And Paul Wellens, he was across what all the decisions were being made around. Obviously, we're bringing a lot of young English kids from St Helens up, and obviously we had to tread on a few toes to get that to happen, and he was very, very supportive, even moving positions when he had to because of injuries and to help the young kids get through. So his leadership was first class on and off the field.
How would he have gone in the NRL?
Oh, in his day, would have been a good player, mate. Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt.
Okay. The best players you've ever coached, Brownie?
It's really hard to put them out. You know, Mark Gasney, obviously, highly talented player. Kalen Ponga's obviously a kid at the moment, but we're going to be surprised as he develops if he doesn't become a player of that exceptional ilk. And this might surprise some people, but Sean Timmins was one of my favourites.
Right. Yeah. He's a good mate of mine, Timo. I see a bit of Timo.
It was one of my favourites because he had shocking knees. He'd play a State of Origin on a Wednesday. He'd get on the piss on the Wednesday night, and then he could fly to North Queensland on the Thursday, and we'd arrive there on the Friday, and his knees were shot, and you wouldn't know, but then he'd play Saturday, be the best player on the field, and then Saturday night he'd kind of let you know that I might have went out to the Mad Cow on Thursday night and got on the piss and smoked a packet of darts. But he could just play good under all sorts of circumstances.
Who that current squad that you just left at Newcastle, apart from the obvious one or two, who is a player in that squad that you think has really got a future?
Look, there's actually some really good young kids at the Knights that are just about ready to come through. You saw Bradman Best at the end of the year. There's a young kid, Simasagi, who's really good. We saw right at the Death Stafford Toa play. So there's a few of those young kids that we haven't really seen yet who are certainly going to provide plenty for the Knights as next year and the years go on, for sure. Probably, you know, the one player that, you know, when me and Moons bought him, we obviously knew he was a good player, but we probably underestimated how good a player Redrick Lee was.
Right.
Yeah, he's probably someone that, you know, we knew we'll sign a decent player when we signed him, but he's sometimes you get players and they're actually better than what you first think, you know. And obviously, Clemmer and Pierce, them blokes have played plenty of Origin and that sort of stuff and been around a long time. Everyone's pretty clear that those blokes can play some decent footy. But, you know, he was a real, as I said, he was better player than what we thought, Edric, you know, more important than what we thought. And then, you know, the young ones that have sort of stood the test of time, you know, Mitch Barnett and those type of blokes, you know, they've got some good, really good years ahead of them, I believe.
Okay, this is the Rush Hour. That's the voice of Nathan Brown. But I tell you what else we've got here. Looking forward to a little bit of Nines being back. The Rugby League, Downer Rugby League World Cup Nines. Show your pride. NRL.com/tickets. But I got a couple here if you want them. 133353. It's the Rush Hour at Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M Maroon and Nathan Brown tonight. And of course, listen to Adam McDougall's podcast, Health Hacker, at podcastone.com.au or on your podcast app. He joins us on the phone live from his palatial mansion in Newcastle. Mad Dog McDougall, hello, mate.
I don't know if it's palatial, boys. I'm up to my ears in manshake powder packing boxes. So anyway, but anyway, it's living the dream, mate. Newcastle's God's country.
I like the way you got the manshake in there, Mad Dog.
It didn't take him long.
Well, who gets to sell powder legally these days?
Hey, Doggy, we want to talk some rugby league. In particular, Ryan Madison's future at the West Tigers. Tigers legend Robbie Farah. I want to play what he said.
I'd be surprised if Ryan Madison actually remains at the Tigers next year. And I think the way it's been handled, it's been quite poor from himself and his management. He shouldn't be upset with us, or the Tigers. If anyone he should be upset with is his manager, because his manager said, well, this is what you're worth. This is the contract I think you should sign. And to me, I'm a bit old school in the fact that I think you've got to have more than one good season in the NRL before you start to demand big money.
All right, I'm going to open this up to you blokes. Ryan Madison is obviously not happy at the West Tigers. Here's a bloke, Brownie, who's on about $350,000, $400,000 a year, signed a contract. West Tigers signed a contract with him in good faith, and here is a Tigers legend saying he won't be there next year.
There's two ways you look at these things these days. So I've spoken about this before. I joined George Mimas nearly 30-odd years ago, and I'm still with him. And I think I mentioned Trent Barrett was with Wayne Beaverson. We joined an agent, and you stayed with him. What happens now is that so whoever Ryan Madison's agent is, he does the deal for him from the Roosters, the West Tigers. Ryan Madison comes out and probably plays above that contract. I think he was 18th man for New South Wales and probably plays a bit better. So what happens is the agent may tell him he can get him more money elsewhere because of how well he's going, which can make the player unhappy. So the agents have got a little bit of need to hold a bit of accountability. But on the other hand, to defend the agent, what can happen is when other people know that Ryan Madison's getting his $350,000, $400,000, another agent might send one of his players to Ryan Madison and say, oh, my agent can get you $600,000. So then the agent's a chance of losing the player because some of them change for a can of Coke and a pair of shoes. That's how it is now. And this is look, there's some really good agents out there that have got really, really good principles. There's some that when their lips move, you know they're lying straight away. So it's a real different situation. But unfortunately, some of the agents are pinching players, so then the agent feels, if I don't get this bloke a better deal, he's going to leave me, and all the hard work I've done for him over my journey, I'm not going to get anything out of it neither. So sometimes the agents need to be defended a bit too.
Oh, mate, where's the word? What's a handshake worth? What's loyalty worth? What's your word worth? You know, so, I mean, yeah, you sign a contract. It's like, you know, you get married and all of a sudden my missus married me, I've gone bald, and if I'm getting a bit fat, does she go and knock off the bloke next door? Of course not. Like,
I agree with you 100%, Mad Dog, what you're saying, but I was just explaining what happens with the different agents here and how they, like, some of the agents will send a player into bat for him to pinch another player, and they'll give the player or promise him a lower reduced rate for getting, if they can con players to get across to him. So there's some shifty things going on out there.
Oh, and I think the agents, and we've spoken about this before, have had way too much power in the game for too long, and, you know, unfortunately, they're nuts to run in the asylum a little bit when it comes to rugby league. You know, there's a lot of people in the game with self-interest at heart that have got too much power. You know, the reality is that rugby league was built off blue-collar, working, honest people, and it's a shame to see our game these days not lacking a lot of them same principles, which a lot of these people who built our game and made it great actually had. So your word, Brownie, as you know, mate, these days you can't take for granted in rugby league. It's disappointing, this young guy. They gave him a two-year deal. He obviously took the two-year deal. He's comfortable with it at the time. And like I said, you know, if your missus puts on a bit of weight, you don't just flick her. I go bald, you don't go find another bloke. So that's life. But I think it speaks about the character of the player as well, and I think it sends a bad message to other clubs who are looking at this player. He's not willing to stick to his word.
Gordy Tallis brought something up interesting on here maybe a month ago, Mad Dog. He was talking about, obviously when the Super League thing happened, he was on contract with us at the Dragons, and he signed Super League to the Broncos. So he actually sat the year out. So he was told if he don't play for the Dragons, he's not playing. And Gordy actually brought the point up. If these blokes are unhappy and they don't want to play for the club they're at, well, they should not be allowed to play until their contracts run out. Like, that's what actually Gordy actually did. So he can probably say it because morally he did that thing.
He did. And, you know, that was an amazing thing that he did. Imagine sitting out a whole year when your football career, you know, is really the same years as dog years, isn't it? You don't get a long time in rugby league. So a year is a real long time out of the game. And that was an amazing thing that Gordy did. And he's a man of principle. So, and that's what made him such a great player and a player you wanted to play next to, because you knew that he'd bleed for you and he'd die for you on the footy field. So, you know, as you touched upon, Brownie, how many blokes, and I think Robbie's indicating this, how many of his teammates are going to want to play next to this bloke next year, maybe, because they know his heart's not in it and he's just looking for money rather than, you know, a real passion for his club. So he's probably not going to be there next year. From what I can read between Robbie's comments, he'd be somebody that's well-versed with what's going on behind the scenes. It looks like the club probably doesn't want him there if he doesn't want to be there anyway.
Yeah. On Gordy being amazing, I didn't think it was amazing when he played Manly in the grand final that year and that bludge was up there in Queensland watching Mad Dog. I'll give you the tip.
Good on you, Mad Dog.
Thanks, boys. Have a great weekend.
Good on you, mate. There he is, Mad Dog, joining us, Adam McDougall. And he's, of course, part of the family here at Triple M. That's it for us tonight, Brownie. It's always good to catch up with you, mate.
Always good to be here, Maroon.
You're going to have a good night out. We'll do it again tomorrow here. The Rush Hour at Triple M.